seated. I'm not really sure why, but I found myself this week reading an article online about how the universe is dying. Like I said, I'm not really sure why, but I read it nonetheless. Evidently, that universe, that too large thing for us to even really get our minds around, that thing that we are in the midst of, but we don't really think about, is going to end. Scientists have studied 200,000 galaxies, and their light, their starlight, evidently, has dimmed by half over the last 2 billion years. So, we only have 2 more billion years left. Time to get your affairs in order. Time is running out. There's this sense, isn't there, everywhere we go, that everything is fading. Perhaps it's society's fear that just seems to always be there. Perhaps it is our need to hold on to every bit of youth that we can, white-knuckling it, fighting the forces of nature. We know nothing lasts forever, and yet we make every effort to make it so. Nothing will endure, nothing will stay alive forever. Evidently, not even the universe. Forever is a concept that really just doesn't seem to exist, at least not in the way that this world understands how things work. We think we know what forever feels like. I think if you ask some of our youth who've just started school, they might tell you they know what forever feels like already. And yet, as people of faith, we know that the only thing that endures, the only thing that is forever, is our relationship with Christ. Christ promises to those who would seek to give up their life to follow him. Christ's invitation for us to abide in him and he in us, that living will last forever. In the past several weeks in our gospel readings, we've heard Jesus talking about bread, something that doesn't last forever at all in our cabinets. We've heard him talk about bread, and maybe it's because I'm getting back into running once again or something, but I sort of think of it as the carb loading for the journey or something like that. It's sort of a wonderful image, I think. We've heard Jesus talking about multiplying bread. He's multiplied loaves and fishes for the thousands to eat. We've heard Jesus talk about how he is the bread of life. We've heard an invitation to live differently because of that. But what we have not talked about yet is why Jesus would want us to eat his body and drink his blood. Something of a weird concept. To eat his body and to drink his blood. It's sort of jarring when you think about it. It's no wonder over the centuries of church history, as we've thought about the Eucharist, some have considered it to be cannibalism. Obviously, we disagree on that point. But it is a different concept to eat his body and drink his blood. Each time, though, that we come to the table to do so, we have the opportunity to come into relationship with Christ in the closest of ways. We touch the body and bread in our hands. We taste, we eat, we drink. And in doing so, Christ promises that we will abide in him, and he will abide in us. Christ lives in us and we in him, and Christ has promised to be with us forever for those who would seek to give up their lives to do so. In the reading from the Gospel from John for today, we hear Jesus make specific promises for those who would eat this bread of life. They will have eternal life. They will be raised up on the last day. That he will feed the world with the food that will last eternally, and that he will nourish the needs of the entire world with the gift of himself. In these we find that as we meet Christ in the body and blood, in the bread and the wine, he has promised to nourish our faith. He has promised to forgive our sins. He has promised to give us life abundantly. And he has promised to empower us to be witnesses to the gospel. But do we believe him? Do we believe these promises are true? What might our lives look like if we did? The thing is, they're hard promises to believe. So I think sometimes the answer is yes, and sometimes the answer is no to that question. And yet we are invited to see loaves and fishes as more than that. We are invited to see them as the body and blood, the bread of life for the world. And when we come to this bread, when we eat it, Christ has promised to be with us forever. And for us to be with him, to abide in us, just as we abide in him. Forever. Forever. Longer than anything that we know. Longer than anything in this world. Longer than what we can comprehend. Longer than what we can understand. Longer than the universe itself. Forever, Christ will be with us. And in receiving the body and blood of Christ, we are invited to live with Christ in the long term, even after our bodies have faded, even after we have died. We are promised that we will be raised and we will live with him. But in the meantime, how are we invited to live our lives? To my mind, it is found, the answer is found in those promises to forgive, to give life, to be with us, and to nourish us. Indeed, we are called to do the same, to show mercy and forgiveness, to demonstrate Christ's presence in our lives, to nourish the world with physically and spiritually each day. And in this, we continue Christ's work. When my brother and I were little, when my family lives in Lawrence. And when my brother and I were little, we went to St. Margaret's Church in Lawrence, Episcopal Church, which is now out west, kind of by the west exit of in Lawrence on 70. Now, or at that time, it was meeting in an elementary school. You can sort of picture this room with less stained glass and more cafeteria food smells for church. We also went to that school, so it was a little bit strange, I guess, to be there for church also. But it meant we knew the building really well. So when you know we would be there, we were playing in that area in the back row, playing in the back, you know, not during church, not paying attention, of course, and being quiet, I'm sure, as all well-behaved kids are. We were much louder than we thought, I'm sure. But each week we came to receive the bread and the wine. Each week we came forward to do that with our family. And each week we had a race right after we received the wine to the water fountain to get the taste of wine out of our mouth. Each week we did it. As you come to receive the body and the bread, the body and the blood, the bread and the wine of our Lord, don't wash that taste out of your mouth. Let it linger. Let it remain with you. And know that in receiving this each week, Christ is inviting you to meet him in the most intimate of ways. Christ has promised in doing so, he will give us abundant life, eternal life. He will forgive our sins, and he will feed us so that we might feed the world. And just as that bread and wine come forward as ordinary bread and ordinary wine, we come forward as ordinary folk, and we are transformed. They are transformed into body and blood, and we are transformed even more fully into the image of God. So come. Come and be nourished. Come and be fed. Come and be changed. Come and be transformed into the image of God, into the people of God more fully. And then go. Go and feed the world in need. Go every day of your life, witnessing to the promises of Christ, knowing that you are loved and you are forgiven more than you can ask, more than you can imagine. And share that with this world that is so desperately in need of it. Amen.